Welcome back to the Bergen County Commissioners Podcast, where we discuss the wonderful programs and events that we have in our county. And now, over to today's host.
Hi, I'm Bergen County Commissioner Mary Amoroso, and this is the Bergen County Commissioner Podcast. Today we are talking to Paul Aronson, who is the Ombudsman for Individuals with Intellectual or Developmental Disabilities in the state of New Jersey. Also, we should point out, former mayor of Ridgewood. Paul, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Mary. It's great to be here.
Okay, so let's start. Let's backtrack a little and talk about some of the challenges that were particularly difficult for people with intellectual or developmental disabilities in times of COVID.
Folks in the disability community, particularly those with intellectual or developmental disabilities, were disproportionately impacted by COVID, like a lot of different sort of communities throughout New Jersey. Even on a good day for an individual with an intellectual or developmental disability in their family, it can be challenging. And so you add to that COVID, which really helped, expose a lot of the fault lines in our system of care. It just made things very difficult.
Mm-hmm. So you had, as you said in your annual report, people have, so you have underlying health conditions that were especially risky during COVID, changes in routine, which are hard on often on people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. Even mask wearing, right? It's hard to get people to keep their masks on.
Absolutely. Some people can't wear masks because of the texture or because of respiratory issues. And then you also have a lot of folks that are unable to sort of engage in social distancing because they rely on physical assistance from another individual. And then you have folks that are hard of hearing and deaf, who depend on lip reading, if you will. And so the masks, unless they were, became yet another barrier.
Yeah, so tough times, and hopefully we're coming out of them to more and more. You were talking about COVID revealing some of the underlying faults in the system. You talk about a tale of two systems. Tell me about that.
Yeah, people ask me often about, New Jersey's system of care for people with intellectual developmental disabilities, as well as disabilities more generally. And, I say it is really a tale of two systems, one good and one not good enough. On the good side, we've got a lot of resources in New Jersey for children as well as adults. We've got a lot of good people working throughout the system in government as well as in sort of the nonprofit community. And that's great. And there are a lot of programs and a lot of supports and services. But I can tell you, Mary, there are a lot of families, a lot of individuals just falling through the cracks. For them, there's a lack of basic supports and services. When we talk about intellectual and developmental disabilities, we're talking about lifelong disabilities. Yeah. And so these folks, might be taken care of, might have the support they need today, but tomorrow their needs are going to change. And our system is just really complex. And the complexity of the system is something I speak about in all my reports. The complexity of this system, to me, is one of the greatest barriers to people getting the services and supports that they need and deserve. It's just way too confusing. There are more offices and more acronyms and more processes and more changing in policies. And it's overwhelming. And for folks with, again, these disabilities and their families, they're already overwhelmed. And so it becomes like this perfect storm. You've got folks that are already overwhelmed trying to find their way through life and get through different challenges. And then you overlay that with this extremely complex system. It's just, it becomes too much for a lot of folks.
So what do you think we need? I mean, I know some states have maybe an individualized portal where you go in and everything gets answered in one place. I mean, is that even possible, or what do we need?
To that point, I think we need some simplification, and I think there are ways to do that. you know, creating those sort of one-stop portals, if you will, not only online, but I think we could do more on the county level, frankly. I think, you know, one of the things I put in my report in 2019 is if we could, you know, we've got 21 counties in New Jersey, and most of them, I think if not all of them now, have an office that works on disability issues. Either it's like in Bergen County, an office of disability services. Some counties, it's aging and disability and what have you. But if we could find, make each one of those offices sort of a clearinghouse of information, almost put like somebody like my position, an ombudsman, somebody who can answer questions and connect people locally to the services and supports in Trenton, and vice versa, help the folks in Trenton connect with people locally, I think that would go a long way to simplifying the system.
And the system is also probably, oh, by the way, I should ask, first of all, how many people are we talking about in the state of New Jersey?
That's an excellent question. So, you know, it's, you know, when we talk about disability in general, both nationally as well as in New Jersey, it's estimated that there are about 1 in 4 adults that have a disability. In terms of intellectual and developmental disability, the numbers are hard to put a number on. For instance, in the adult system, those that are registered with the state's Division on Developmental Disabilities, there's about 25,000 people in there. However, I don't think I don't think that's capturing most of the people with IDD in our state. I think that a lot of folks go through the system as children. They get a lot of services and supports through their school system, which are both required federally as well as by state law. But once they hit 21, they don't just fall off what they call the cliff. I think they fall off sort of the grid. And then what I mean by that is I suspect that a lot of folks with intellectual and developmental disabilities just fall out of the system at age 21. And so we don't even know how many are out there.
Well, and I wanted to talk specifically about that. So we, our whole system is geared to the, I guess, under 18, under 21, right?
Yeah. So what happens is, you know, we have early intervention, which is up to age 3, and that's run out of the state's Department of Health. And oftentimes, you know, with this, when an intellectual development disability, it's often sort of express itself in those early years. If it's autism, if it's cerebral palsy, Down syndrome, any of the developmental disabilities. And then, you know, again, by law, there's an entitlement, if you will, and through the school system, each individual school district provides, you know, has to provide, you know, a certain amount of supports and services for that child. And so I think we're good at capturing a lot of the folks when they're children. When you get to 21, though, it's no longer an entitlement, no longer mandated. And so while there are a lot of services and supports in New Jersey, folks need to know how to access them. And if you live in a community that has a good transition program in the high school and, you know, there's good connection going on, you know, those folks are helped, you know, transitioned into that adult system. But in communities where they don't have those resources, my fear is really that they just go without.
So should we be?
They don't know.
Should we be? And I know that a number of parents of adults, young adults with disabilities, have banded together to advocate. But do we need a statewide system post 21, or how does that work?
It's an excellent question, and it's one, you know, people have been wrestling with. And I remember when I was mayor, you'd hear about families, again, sort of falling off the cliff and, you know, and not knowing how to access the adult system of services because you're sort of left on your own. I do think we need to set up something. One of the things I proposed in my latest annual report was making a support coordinator, or basically a case manager, available to any family when the child turns 18, just automatically.
That's great.
Connecting them, somebody who can just answer, who's like a resource, can answer questions for that family for the next few years to help make sure that they get on the path that they need to get on as an adult. And I'll tell you, Mary, and this is just based on anecdotal sort of evidence, if you will. I really feel that we have a problem in our cities. I think, because I can tell you, you know, in my office, we've done everything possible to really outreach to communities and families throughout the state over the last 3.5 years. Mm-hmm. I rarely get an email or a phone call from Newark, from Elizabeth, from Camden, from Jersey City, from Patterson, you name the city. And my sense is, you know, we probably have large populations of adults, young adults, with intellectual developmental disabilities, but their families, they and their families just don't know where to go. They don't know where to go.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. So I guess that's going to be one of your focuses. The city,
yeah.
our city citizens with disabilities and their families.
Absolutely. You know, one of the challenges I've had in the office is there's only two of us.
So you can do it all.
We have limited bandwidth, but
yeah.
That's definitely one of the things. And I've reached out to different legislators and different folks throughout the state. Mm-hmm. And again, we highlighted that in our annual report because we think a lot of attention needs to be paid there.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to switch over to a particular topic, autism, which is a particular issue in New Jersey, right?
Oh, absolutely. We have the highest prevalence, not just in the country, but I believe in the world, of one in 32 children, in every 32 children, is supposed to have autism, which is extraordinary. To me, it's a crisis proportion. I don't think we're positioned. I know we're not positioned to sort of to provide the sort of supports and services that these individuals and their families need.
Uh-huh. So what are some of the early steps, the baby steps to be taken to own up to the issue of highest prevalence?
I think we all need to sort of just really sort of step back, you know, and particularly those of us in government and those of us in education, first responders, everybody, because everybody's affected by this, and we need to step back and sort of really accept the notion and understand what that means to have one in 32 of your children with autism and what that means, because we know it's a spectrum, and it doesn't mean that means there's a whole different, there's different levels of challenges. But I'll tell you, you know, it's estimated by Autism New Jersey, which is a great organization I work closely with, it is estimated that there are about 15,000 New Jerseyans with autism who also have what they call severe challenging behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
And these are individuals that engage in self-injurious behavior, they hurt themselves, or they're aggressive to others, or they're destructive to property, or some combination of the three. 15,000 of our neighbors throughout the state. That's a lot.
That's a lot of people.
And I'll tell you, it was one of the things that was most striking to me when I took this job. As you know, I grew up in a family with disability, and I've been working in disability. But this was new to me. Both in terms of sort of the prevalency, as well as the sort of the scarcity of supports and services for these individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things, you know, and just to go on for more a moment on this, one of the things, you know, I was struck by, you know, like I would ask myself, like, why didn't I know this? Why didn't I understand that this exists? Mm-hmm. And when I talk to other legislators and other folks, you know, and who aren't aware of the magnitude of the issue, and I realize it's because a lot of these individuals and their families, whether they're children or adults, they don't go to restaurants. They don't go out because of their behaviors, and so we're not aware of it, and we're not, you know what I mean. And so, I think we need to become aware of it, and I think we need to embrace it and understand it, and you know, sort of set ourselves up to provide the supports and services that these individuals are going to need throughout their lifespan.
Right. So you've got all these families who are kind of hidden away, and by the behavior of their loved ones. That's sad as well.
It is, and it's amazing. Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, you know, one of the things, you know, in my job, you know, families invite me into their homes, and which is a real blessing, and you know, gift. But I get to see, you know, and I can't tell you, Mary, how many times I've been in someone's home where I see the holes in the wall made by the child.
Right.
I see the doorknobs ripped off the doors. Mm-hmm. You know, I meet the siblings who have post-traumatic stress disorder.
Sure.
They hide in their rooms. It's like this hidden nightmare, and we need to sort of shine the light on it and talk about it more and do more about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me ask you a follow-up before we move on. So is there an autism czar in New Jersey, or is that you?
No, there is no autism czar. I know, you know, at one point they had set up an office of autism policy or something in the Department of Human Services, but there is nobody on the state level, if you will.
Again,
we've got a lot of great organizations. A lot of the best and most important work is happening out there in like the nonprofit sector. Again, Autism New Jersey is one organization.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We have the Reed School and the Reed Foundation and Alpine here in Bergen County. But there is no one person sort of focus on it. And maybe to your point, we need to. Again, not to sort of take anything away from, you know, the focus on other developmental disabilities, which need a lot more resources, a lot more attention, too.
Yeah.
But there's something else going on here. We need to understand it and provide for the individuals and their families better.
Right, and make sure that families aren't so isolated. You in your report, you talk about something that I think that's very interesting. We are so aspirational in our hopes for our citizens with disabilities. They should live their best lives and develop their potential to every extent they can. But you talk about the fact that we are not meeting our folks with disabilities and their families, their basic needs in a number of cases.
That's absolutely correct. And I think, and I'm glad you brought this up, I think it's wonderful, a lot of the work being done, you know, on the aspirational side to mm-hmm. make sure that folks with intellectual and developmental disabilities, you know, live life to its fullest and have the independence and the employment and every opportunity that every other individual has. And I think that's wonderful, and we need to keep doing it and do more of it. But I find that we're not doing a good enough job of meeting some of the most basic needs. And there are a lot of individuals and families who can't even think aspirationally because they're trying to just sort of get by day by day, you know, meet some of the basic health needs, you know, in some cases, you know, keeping their child, their minor child or their adult child alive.
Yeah.
And we need to do a better job, whether it's, you know, paying private duty nurses more, you know what I mean, so they're more available to families, paying our direct support professionals more so they're more available to individuals and, you know, with the right credentials and the right training. We need to address things like, you know, abuse and neglect, which happens in the system.
Sure.
You know, there were a couple of hearings in the State Assembly last fall by Chairwoman Joanne Downey, which gave a platform to a lot of families to come forward and tell their harrowing stories. And these are stories, Mary, that myself and my colleague in the office, Christine Baxter, we hear on a daily basis without any exaggeration.
Mm-hmm.
These are folks that, you know, and sometimes it's outward abuse, you know, by, you know, a staff member, let's say, in a group home to an individual or another client in a group home. Oftentimes it's what we call neglect. But to me, the neglect in itself is a form of abuse. You know,
mm-hmm.
someone, you know,
yeah.
being deprived of food, somebody living in a house in disrepair. We need to do a much better job meeting people's basic needs so they too can be aspirational.
Yeah,
but
right.
We're not there yet. And there's a lot more work that needs to be done there.
Okay. So if somebody wants to reach out to you or to get more information, to plug into the system, what's the best thing to do? How to go about that?
Best thing to do is to email me directly.
Okay.
I can give you my email address or...
Sure, I'd love to hear it.
It's paul.aronson, so that's P-A-U-L .aronson @... And it's the first five letters of the word treasury, TREAS .nj.gov. Email me. We also have a website, Disability Ombudsman New Jersey. People can go there. They can email us through there. They can learn some information about us. But I'd be more than happy to talk with anybody on the phone, through video, in person. We really make it a point before COVID and since COVID, really to sort of take our office to where people live, to where they go to school, work. So we've driven all over the state, meeting with families. And we do that for two reasons. We do it because it not only makes it easier for them, but it also gives you a better perspective, better insight into the family situation when you can actually sit with them, meet the family members, and really get a, you know, sort of hear, feel, and sort of sense everything that's going on in that family up close.
Right. Yeah. Well, I want to thank you, Paul Aronson, our ombudsman in New Jersey for individuals with intellectual and development or developmental disabilities. Thank you for all your work and for putting your heart into this important effort for our citizens. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. Thank you for this opportunity. Appreciate it.
Okay. Take care.
Thank you for listening to another Bergen County Commissioners podcast. If you have any ideas for future podcasts, please email podcast@co.bergen.nj.us.